Hi, everyone, and welcome to Comic Noob. Sorry, I'm just fucking with you, man.
I didn't want to have to fight you this early. I wasn't above it. All right.
Trained in the arts of kung fu and ninjutsu by a giant rat that lives under the sewers of New York. This is Super Cinema, and today we're talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm your host, Benjamin Hamlin, and I'm joined today by...
Donald Orr.
And we are here to break down movies that comics have created. And today we're joined by an exceptional group of podcasters, the Comics Noobs Show, and that includes...
Kevin Veldman.
And Sobe.
Thank you very much for joining us, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. We are glad to have you guys here. You guys do a show in which you, for the most part, you guys go through old Marvel story arcs and you tell it like it happened, I guess.
Mostly modern story arcs. Some old ones, yeah. We kind of scatter it out. We try to get people who aren't comics fans into comics,
or people that are kind of like on the fence about how do I get into comics because they've watched a movie or something, and basically saying, hey guys, it's okay. You know, you can watch that movie and here's some comics to read to help you out here. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys are doing the Lord's work, or at least Stan Lee's.
We're trying.
Yeah. So speaking of getting into things for the first time, this is actually the first time that either Donald or myself have ever seen the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. So I'm excited to talk about that from a first timer's perspective.
Oh man,
this is my like 15th viewing of it.
Oh my
it's
goodness,
probably close to my 200th. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So you guys are fans then.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure I made my dad watch this movie with me every day when I was like 4 years old until about I was maybe 10. So,
oh no, I understand. There's certainly a lot of superhero movies that fall under that category for me. I'm sure my dad has had enough of the X-Men though. All right. That being said, I think there's let's just get into it, I guess.
All right.
So, Donald, as I'm sure you know, and our friends over at the Comic Noobs, I am sure you guys know as well, there are a lot of superhero movies that are coming out in 2016, and one of the last ones, actually, is going to be Suicide Squad, and we just got a brand new trailer for that about a week ago from when we're recording, obviously not from when this is going out.
Right, yeah.
Wow, a hell of a ride.
Man.
Not exactly what I was expecting. What did you guys think?
I honestly, because I didn't catch it live on TV, and so somebody posted a link on Twitter, and I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, this has to be a fan trailer. There's no way they put Bohemian Rhapsody to the actual trailer, and turns out, yes, they did, and it was a hell of a great choice. I wasn't pumped at all about Suicide Squad. I was like, yeah, cool, new hot Harley Quinn. I can get down with that. You know, Will Smith is Deadshot. That's pretty cool. Most of the characters I'm, you know, not even terribly familiar with, but...
I don't know who any of them are. But Harley Quinn and the Joker, and I think that's pretty much it.
But, yeah, with this new trailer, I am super jacked for this movie now.
Yeah.
It goes without saying, but it's a complete tone shift. The previous Suicide Squad trailer is a very gloomy affair. It's got that kind of long, slow music. It looks very kind of end of the world, you know, decay kind of thing. And then this one hits like all, I mean, literally hits all the marks. It's cut to the beat of a really kind of snappy song. It looks wild. It looks colorful. It looks weird. And I think that's really going to sell audiences. I mean, it sold me.
Right.
Donald.
Oh, go ahead.
Donald, we talked briefly about this yesterday, but what did you think of the new trailer?
I really liked it. Again, I think, I told you this previously, but I think me and a lot of people on Twitter and Reddit and stuff agree that it really takes a page out of the Guardians of the Galaxy marketing with using those old song choices. It's this ragtag group of, you know, bad people, in this case villains. I really enjoyed it. Whoever edited the trailer is amazing, like with all the hits with the song. That was brilliant. I'm not too familiar with all the characters. I'm mainly just familiar with Joker and Harley and Deadshot, but everyone else I'm not really too familiar with.
Well, someone has to represent for Killer Croc then.
Oh, Killer Croc too, yeah.
Yeah, just from Killer Croc too, but...
Yeah. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to it. This actually convinced me, I think Jared Leto's performance is going to be great in this movie? I think so. I think it'll be a different take for sure than compared to Heath Ledger and other performances, but I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to the movie.
Yeah, I've been asking for a, well, asking. I've actually been emailing DC directly for a kind of sillier, cornier Joker, and it looks like we're definitely going to get that. It doesn't look like he's going to be as, serious, I'm going to run a social experiment kind of Joker. It looks like he's kind of going for a more Nicholson, cuckoo-ca-choo crazy
Joker. Yeah. He just looks bonkers, so.
Yeah, I got a very Batman the Animated Series vibe out of Leto's Joker.
Which is a very good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the seminal performance. Well, oh, man, I'm sorry. I can't say that. I can't say that about Heath Ledger. All four of the major Jokers are pretty... I'm sorry, all five of the major Jokers are pretty seminal.
Are you going with Cesar Romero there?
Cesar Romero, my personal favorite Joker.
Really?
I gotta go Mark Hamill as my favorite, like, just same. Both in the animated series and the Arkham games.
Donald.
Fantastic.
Donald, comics noobs, are dear fans. I've never seen the Batman animated series.
What?
Oh!
That is a sin.
I know.
It's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Do you think I can afford that?
Dude, I have Amazon Prime. I use it. Oh my god. It's all on there.
He uses it to watch Batman the Animated Series.
Ben, I'm gonna DM you my Amazon Prime password.
Yeah.
Promise me you won't use my credit card to buy a bunch of shit, but I'm going to DM you it just so you can watch Batman the Animated Series.
It's so good.
I am forever grateful. In fairness, I think I saw a couple of episodes in the early
2000s. Is my Batman. Like, that is what I, like, that's just Batman.
Oh, no, I mean, kind of mine too, because obviously Kevin Conroy and
Hamill.
Yep, Luke Skywalker are in the Arkham games.
Right.
You know, so.
Which I thought was a great choice for them to do.
Yeah, to bring them back, since obviously they're both really stellar voice actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've maybe caught a couple episodes on TV in the early 2000s, but mixed in with, like, JLA, JLU.
Batman Beyond.
The Bruce Timmiverse is, like, amazing. Like, all those.
Oh, I guess I've seen a few episodes of the Superman animated series.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I never saw the original. And look, it is obviously giant black hole in my comics media knowledge. And for this, I am truly ashamed.
It's all right. There's support groups.
There are support groups.
Well, I've never seen any of that JLA stuff you're talking about, so we're on an even keel then.
JLA and JLU are just... That is some quality storytelling, some quality character building.
Well, it's like some of the same teams from the animated series, I think, because it's Bruce Timm behind that stuff.
Oh, yeah, too. Yeah. It's all the same guy.
So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, both of those shows, you're often, like, thinking, like, oh, there's no way they'll ever include this villain. And then, no, they do. They include every villain.
It's kind of how I feel about the Flash show that's on now.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, that's right up my alley. I'm the target demographic for that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm exactly the target demographic for, like, full-on cheesy costumes, like, low-budget. Just the Flash show for me is pretty much perfection. Like,
it's so good.
I love all the Marvel shows so much, but I really wish they'd jump on the low-budget train that CW is conducting right now.
Oh, buddy, it sounds like we are going to get along.
Yes. Speaking of which, I just felt like mentioning this real quick. Like I said, I'd never seen any of that JLA, JLU stuff, and neither had Sobey. Mm-mm. And Sobey's not really into comics, and I've always been like a Marvel guy plus some, you know, non-superhero stuff. Sure. And I got to say, my first exposure to Wonder Woman has been recently, where Sobey and I are both reading Injustice: Gods Among Us. So right now, both of our, like, knowledge of Wonder Woman is, like, total fascist asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's understandable.
I would recommend the New 52 run by Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang.
Okay.
That run is fantastic.
Yeah, that's some classic Wonder Woman right there. We were saying that about the
reboot. Yeah, I was telling my friends from another podcast that we really need to read some actual, like, canon Wonder Woman stuff before we start to hate Wonder Woman at this point.
She's the worst in this one.
in Injustice, she's just the worst.
I feel like that's a good succinct description of Injustice. Everyone's kind of the worst.
That is true.
Except Batman. Batman's badass.
Yes.
Batman and Harley Quinn's come out of that book.
And Harley Quinn's so good.
Yeah, she comes off really well on that one.
And steals every page she's on.
Yeah.
Speaking of Harley Quinn, and therefore tailing us back to Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Margot Robbie looks like she's going to steal every scene she's in as Harley Quinn.
I think I posted on Twitter about that Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is going to ruin at least three of my marriages. And I'm on marriage number zero right now.
He's already predicting it.
No, that sounds about right. I mean, it's crazy because it's an ensemble movie, but it's easily the biggest ensemble other than like the X universe. It's probably the biggest ensemble cast of characters that we'll get to stay with the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously Days of Future Past had like a cast of like 20, but, you know, we only stayed with like six of those or whatever.
Well, really, Wolverine plus extras.
Yeah, pretty much. Whereas this movie, yeah, we've got, I want to say the Suicide Squad has 8 members.
Something like that.
Plus Joker,
and then you got throwing Amanda Waller in there. And
Batman, however long his cameo is. Yeah. And I'm sure there's going to be other non-costumed, criminals or characters or whatever that, you know, the Suicide Squad needs people to hunt down.
Can I say even some of the characters, like, I'm not familiar with all of them, but like Katana and Killer Croc are characters I'm not really familiar with, but their costumes and makeup and everything look spectacular.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm excited to learn about them just from the trailers, which is, you know, pretty,
I'll be interested to see for sure. I'll be interested to see Killer Croc in motion, because I know when I saw the original still of him and he's got that practical effect, like kind of helmet mask.
Yep.
I was a little skeptical on that the first time I saw it, so I'll be interested to see that in motion. But I have a feeling it's going to look good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different than the turtle costumes.
We'll get into those, I'm sure. Yeah, we'll get into those shortly. Yeah, but no, it looks like it's going to be exciting. It looks like it's going for a more fun atmosphere. I tweeted the night it came out that, like, that's the kind of aesthetic that I want the DC universe to have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you, this is public information to you guys. I kind of harp a little bit on the aesthetic that Man of Steel has.
Wow.
Kind of the color barren atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what looks like. I mean, it's certainly got that heavy color correction, but I don't know if it's definitely more rooted in color and excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And the costumes all look unique and engaging. You know, we don't have, like, everyone's in the same black leather suits that, like, they were in, like, X-Men or whatever.
Yeah,
like, everyone's
X-Men.
Got a unique look.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, anyway, man, and Harley Quinn's costume, that's pretty much a total redesign of the comic book character. Like I said, she's the one I'm most familiar with, so, besides the Joker. And the Joker, with the tattoos and everything, is pretty unique.
Yeah.
But Harley Quinn's costume is a total redesign, and you know, it captures the essence perfectly, even with the total redesign. It looks awesome.
Yeah, we were talking about that in a previous episode where, I believe I said that, like, you know, there's almost nothing that stays over from her actual costume other than the fact that she's got, like, a split color scheme thing.
Yeah.
But for some reason, just looking at her, like, even though she's got no, like, you know, card icons or, like, big old, like, you know, jester horns, I guess they're called. Anyway. You can look at that character and think, oh, that's Harley, even though there's, like, almost no design similarities to Harley.
Right.
And it's weird that they've been able to create that connection, and I feel like that kind of devotion to, like, the source material and then changing it a bit, I feel like it's going to turn into a really good movie.
Yeah.
And we have to wait until August for that?
Yeah.
August, yeah.
Mercy.
Late August.
But we're going to get, like, 5 movies until then, so.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to start the titus over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord knows I'll see I'm sorry, that's the name of the show. Civil War.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'll see Civil War in theaters, like, maybe 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you've got my 4 favorites in that movie.
I hope I have time to see it. Like I said, I just had a kid. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see any movies in theaters.
Oh, man. Well, fingers crossed, I'm sure. Look, it's Civil War. You've got to find time.
Yeah.
It's a human child, though, so I think you have to find time.
He could come along. I'm sure everyone in the theater will be excited about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, theaters love crying infants.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll give them some sedatives. That's allowed, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's crying infants and fire, the 2 things people in theaters love. All right, so let's transition to another a pretty big piece of news also related to DC. Donald, what's been happening with Detective Comics?
So, well, it's a line-wide thing. Apparently, the rumor has it that DC Comics is going to have an entire, not reboot, but a relaunch with more number ones, similar to Marvel's All New, All Different launch, or the Marvel Now thing. And they're going to have another sort of slew of comics starting at number one again. It's called DC Rebirth. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm excited because I think it will ultimately get more people to read DC Comics. But at the same time, I'm really tired of all these relaunches that, you know, just because like with certain titles like Squirrel Girl or like Spider-Gwen on Marvel's side, you know, we had two number ones in a single year. And I don't think that's necessarily needed. I kind of wish they would, you know, keep the numbers going up again. But at the same time, it'll get more readers to read DC. So there's still much to be seen.
Yeah, it's a complex issue to be sure. And I don't know a ton about it, but it sounds more like a Marvel Now than a New 52.
Right.
And then it doesn't sound like it doesn't feel like a total restart. It feels more of like a rebranding sort of thing.
Yeah, it'll be like a rebranding. I think some minor retconning here and there to get more things are more
minor retconning
streamlined.
From DC.
What was that?
A minor retconning from DC.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be good because, like, I've been harping on the New 52 since the beginning. I didn't think it was...
Sorry, go ahead.
I think a lot of it did work. Obviously, yeah. The Scott Snyder Detective Comics run is, you know...
The Batman run?
Oh, yes, I did mean Batman. Is going down in history as a pretty good... As a pretty solid, like, you know, like 50 or so issues now.
Yeah.
And Greg Capullo's art is just spectacular.
It's phenomenal.
On that book.
Yeah, that's what I hear as well. Batman Year Zero was pretty well acclaimed. You were talking about the Wonder Woman run later. I know there were like maybe a half dozen or so books that were like that really stood out, but I think a lot of the New 52 was frankly kind of poorly planned.
Yeah, it dwindled a bit with certain runs. They didn't really have much of a long-term plan as far as, because you know, we're 5 years out after the New 52, and the only books really that have... sort of stood the test of time is Batman. That's their number one top seller. Justice League is still selling well.
Justice League had a rough first like 18 months though.
Yeah, I think so. But I think, and they tried the DCU thing, DCYOU with a few new books, and none of those really stuck too well. So I think, hopefully with this, they'll have a much stronger plan, and I think it'll, you know, it'll garner in new readers for sure with the number ones. I think all different Marvel is doing a somewhat good job with that. I'm reading a lot more newer titles with that, like The Vision, which I'll talk about later. But yeah, hopefully DC Comics will, you know, get their stuff together and it'll be good.
Yeah. Now, what do you guys think? You're primarily a Marvel podcast, but like, is this enticing to you? Would this get you into DC?
You know, I've thought a lot about these relaunch things because it kind of annoyed me the way Marvel Now, and then there was Marvel Now Plus, and now there's, you know, All New, All Different, with tons of new number ones. And really, as long as they keep quality books coming out, and the way at least the All New, All Different Marvel is working out, there's a lot of quality books. So, you know, it's kind of annoying that you get titles that have gone like 500 issues, and then all of a sudden it's number one, number one, number one, number one. But at the same time, as long as there's quality books coming out, I don't really mind as much. And it does get new readers in. Like, it's hard for anybody to jump in at issue 327 or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas jumping in at issue 12, you can be like, oh, I just got to pick up the last 11. And, you know, comics nowadays, you can read them in 20 minutes, so...
And for me, as basically the comic noob of everything, seeing the heroes on big picture, so this seems like it's going to be a big year for DC just on film. And you got the Batman,
absolutely,
Superman, and a ton of Suicide, you know, 8+ characters in Suicide Squad. That could be a way to get, hey, look, you know, you like those in the movies, well, here's this book, it starts at number one. And you can go in from at that angle. And if you like it, then you might say, oh, I like this. I'm done reading it. I want to go back in time and figure out what I like here, too.
And it sounds like... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, not every longtime comics fan will maybe agree with me, but to me, more new comic readers is always a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely. Like, to be honest, like, I only read, trades here and there, and I wasn't, too familiar with a bunch of characters until the New 52, and that's when I started picking up more single issues, and then, my pull list changed, and now I'm, my pull list is primarily Marvel. Like, the only DC title I'm pulling is Batman. Hopefully DC really, puts their stuff together, gets more quality books out there like Batman. And from the sounds of it, the rumor is that more books are going to be not necessarily based off of, but there'll be more Superman and Batman books, more Suicide Squad books because the films are out. There are going to be more Green Arrow and Flash books.
Yeah.
Definitely a Supergirl book. Hopefully that'll be more all ages, or something that's not necessarily based on the TV show because, the comics are, sort of come first in that regard.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think there'll be more of that, and that's definitely a good thing. And as far as quality books go, I for sure, Marvel is definitely putting out some great, great books. Again, I mentioned The Vision. Ben here just read the Hawkeye run for his first time, which is fantastic, the Fraction Hawkeye run. I reread it with him. It's great. And while that was, 4 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can actually draw some pretty clear parallels, because I believe Marvel Now came out about a year after the first Avengers movie.
I think so. A couple years.
Yeah, it was
same
it was
year.
Just a couple of months after. Yeah,
yeah. So I think you can draw some pretty easy comparisons between the Avengers and Marvel Now, and then Batman v Superman and the new DC lineup.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and obviously that worked wonders for Marvel because Marvel's like on top with all their kind of B and C list characters getting revitalized.
Yeah,
and so many Guardians books now. It's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. I'm Guardians, all about Dr. some Strange. Healthy competition, too. Like, Marvel's been kind of on top for a while in the comics and movies game. I would love to see DC kind of pushing them. Like, they're doing great, but I'd love to see DC pushing them even further to do better. And then Marvel's obviously pushing DC to do better. So, a little healthy competition between the big two helps us all.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. I think the more that DC comes up with quality films and definitely quality comic books, I think that'll just sort of an iron sharpens iron sort of thing. Like, it'll just make the community and the more quality books come into fruition.
Yep.
Totally.
All right. Well, it looks like we have a pretty bright future for both ends of the comic spectrum, Marvel, DC, and, the movies of each of them.
Absolutely.
What a fantastic year 2016 will be. And... speaking of 2016, let's not talk about that any longer and move back to 1990. Stay with us after the break, and we are going to be talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
We work tirelessly to make this show and others free and accessible to listeners. So if you like what we do here at Infinity Break and you want to support us, there's a very easy way to do that. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/Infinity Break. If you want to chip in a monthly donation to help us keep this show and all of our comics, podcasts, and videos running and improving with each month, we'd greatly appreciate your show of support. Right now, we're working on improving the audio quality for both our videos and our podcasts, as well as developing new shows that are coming out in the next couple of months, including new podcasts, new comedy sketches, and new web series. We hope that you're just as excited as we are about the future of Infinity Break, and we're hoping that you can be a part of it. Once again, that's patreon.com/Infinity Break, and every donation helps. Thanks for listening, and as always, tell your friends. And now, back to the show. Okay, so, where does one begin with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? because that is a hell of a question.
If I may, the you only may. Place to begin with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is with the Foot Clan. So, New York City, Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn, this gigantic city full of people is under attack by the Silent Crime Wave. You leave a truck alone for a few seconds, you come back, the stereo's ripped out, any cargo you had is gone, and the Foot Clan has made off with your shit. And the only heroes that are willing to rise up are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was joking with Donald at the beginning of the movie, which, by the way, that is a corny introduction to a movie, and it was fantastic.
Yes.
I legitimately fell in love with the film within the first 5 minutes. There's that older lady who's, like, sitting on her fire escape watching TV, and she, like, looks away for a second, and her TV just disappears.
It was so great.
Not to mention, like, I legitimately the most elaborate pickpocket scheme ever.
Yeah. And I was cracking up, because, like, I mean, obviously I knew it was a silly movie. I knew it was a product of the early 90s, the late 80s. You know, it was just this weird, you know, obscure movie that's commanded mostly by puppets and dudes in costumes.
Yes.
Like, I knew it was going to be weird, but for some reason, like, the fact that the Foot Clan was essentially running an electronics cartel was like, I was like, oh, no, this movie is 100%, this is perfect. This is art.
Someone deemed this art.
Yeah, like, I cannot emphasize how quickly I was on board for something as ridiculous as this. Like, what was that line I was cracking up at the beginning? It was like, you know, like, April O'Neil is on the TV, and she's like, you know, who can stand up to this? Unfortunately, the police are the only people we have.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Damn, those police sure can't fight ninjas. And they ain't
doing shit.
And, for some reason, like, mentally in my head, I was like, oh, yeah, of course the police can't fight ninjas. That makes sense to me.
I
agree, movie.
It's unfortunate that the police are not trained in ninjutsu.
They don't have the NYPD Ninja Division.
I would read a comic entirely about the NYPD Ninja Division, just saying.
One second, I need to write something down. I'm doing two webcomics, I can do a third. Nothing's stopping me except for the lack of an artist. That would be a trip. But, like, yeah, this movie is obviously, it's a silly premise, which is weird, obviously, in contrast to the books, which we'll touch on in a second. This movie has a very silly premise, and unlike a lot of other comic book movies, it doesn't shy away from that at all. It goes full force into being ridiculous.
It doesn't even care.
It owns every minute of the ridiculousness. I love the scene when maybe a half hour into the movie when Raphael drags April O'Neil back to the turtle's hideout, and she's just, all right, I'm dead. I'm either dreaming. I saw that rat in a parking lot one time, and you guys, no idea.
Yeah, it leaves such an impression so early on. Now, this was Donald and I's first time watching it, but you guys are, like, lifelong fans. So, like, by all means, please illuminate us. Like, what... When you first watched this movie, and obviously in the year since, like, what's really stuck with you?
Well,
why do you keep going back even as well?
I just watched the cartoon so much as a kid, like, that's like I had VHSs of the things, and I just pop it in and watch. Like, my parents were like, 90s. You only would stop, like, bothering us if we just gave you this cassette tape and you popped it in. So, like, then it was like there were real people. I was like, oh, wow, this is incredibly awesome.
Right. And with me, apparently, like, my dad, he was in the Army Rangers, and he had a buddy who was really loved the Ninja Turtles comic books, which there were only a couple of at the time in, like, the late 80s. And his best friend was like, these things are going to be huge. I'm telling you, these Ninja Turtles are going to be huge. And my dad was like, all right, whatever. And then the movie came out, and I was like 3 or 4 years old. And he bought the movie on VHS tape. And apparently, I made him watch this movie with me every day for several years. Like, I watched it again last night, and it was probably the first time in over a year that I'd watched it. But I am incapable of watching this movie critically at all. I absolutely love every second of this movie, even the parts where I'm objectively, I'm like, okay, this stupid April O'Neil, like, narration in the middle of the movie is completely unnecessary.
It's so great.
But I kind of, like, I was thinking that on one level, and on the other level, I'm like, this is fucking great. I love this movie so much.
You know how many times I drew the pictures that she drew in the movie? Just for the hell of it, like
it's Yeah, I've been capable of being critical about this movie. I just love it that much.
This movie and Super Mario Brothers. Which is also equally as just horrendous.
Well, this podcast was way more horrendous.
And you say you can't really look at it too critically, and I completely get that. I mean, Lord knows when we get around to like the first X-Men movies, I'm going to have a hard time. Oh man, I'm going to have a hard time critically dissecting Batman 66, which is a childhood classic for me. Someone born 3 decades after it came out. But like that being said, like on the flip side of that coin, Donald, this was your first experience as well. Last night, we both watched this movie together. Your thoughts, please.
So I'm kind of with them. Like after the first like 10 minutes, I kind of just threw like criticism out the door.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, there are like some ridiculously cheesy moments in this movie. But I loved it because it was cheesy. Like, like there are definitely like some like cringy moments if I was looking at it as like an actual film. But it's also four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like fighting the Foot Clan. But I actually really liked it.
I mean, who doesn't love Splinter's origin story? I was fighting in my cage.
Mirroring his movements as I could.
Can I just talk about my favorite line in the film?
You certainly can.
So when April O'Neil is in the train station and she's all alone, and then the Foot Clan just like sneaks up behind her and she's like, they're like, I have a message for you. And then he opens his, he has his hand. And then she's like, shut it. And like slaps her. Like, oh my God.
The best part
I laughed so hard at that. I wanted to watch it again.
The best part of that scene, too, is it's the middle of the day in New York City, and that subway is completely empty.
I
always thought it was hilarious because the Foot Clan, they have these black, like, cloth masks, but they've got, like, it's like speaker wire, like, eye covering. And she's like, what, am I behind in my Sony payments? And I was like, I didn't get that as a kid, but I think I remember watching that when I was like 10, and I was like, oh, because they look like speakers.
My favorite line, since everyone's dishing those, is when Danny shows up at the farmhouse, I think, or somewhere, or the campfire scene, one of those. And and April says, oh, geez, your father's going to have kittens.
God, that's such an antiquated, like... I mean, that feels like something that would have been said in the 80s.
Right.
Right.
I'm while we're doing favorite lines, I'm going to do my favorite line of the movie, which I have probably sent out on Twitter like 30 times just because I always crack up whenever I hear it, is, wise men say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza. Michelangelo says that as he, like, short... Yeah. He, like... the pizza guy's like, hey, you only gave me 10, the tab's 13. And he's like, wise men say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza. I love it so much.
It's so good.
You would never, ever get away with that anymore, but whatever.
Again, it just fully commits to the premise. Exactly. And like, that's something I can appreciate, again, as so many movies kind of try to shy away from some of their sillier themes. I mean, I give DC a lot of shit for that, but like, certainly Marvel is guilty of doing the same thing.
Mm.
But it's really nice to see a movie just completely go like balls to the walls
insane.
Completely
embrace the ridiculousness, yeah.
I mean, it's a movie about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
There's really not another way to do that. Except there is, because Michael Bay's put out some movies.
Oh, boy.
Have either of you seen the last year's, or, ooh, was
it? 2 years ago.
2 years ago's Michael Bay TMNT? Because I know I have not.
I did see it. I was reluctant to see it. I refused to see it, actually, for a long time, because I liked Transformers cartoon as a kid. And I know what Michael Bay did to that, so...
I'll defend the first Transformers movie.
I won't. But I refuse to
the
see...
The other two I won't.
I refuse to see... There's three of them, but... Well, yeah, I refuse to see the Ninja Turtles for a long time, and it was on Netflix the other day. And I don't know if it's maybe just because my expectations were so low, but I didn't hate it.
Oh.
Yeah,
awesome. I haven't seen it either.
I saw it and I was expecting an F, to be honest. And I came in and was like, oh, this is like a C-.
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't bad. I enjoyed watching it. Like, I'm not going to rave about it and I'm not going to watch it again. Although, I am kind of pumped about after the trailer. I am kind of pumped about the one that comes out this year.
Yeah.
Oh, is that this year?
It's later this year. We actually didn't do a trailer talk on that one, but yeah, it's
okay.
Shredder and Rocksteady and
Bebop.
Well,
Rocksteady
Steven
and Bebop and the Turtle Van and basically all the toys that never made it into the movies when I was a kid.
I had all those toys.
Yeah, I had all the toys.
Yeah, Stephen Amell plays the Green Arrow on Arrow. He's Casey Jones, I guess.
A great choice for Casey Jones.
Yeah.
I like that.
While we're on Casey Jones, can we talk about how awesome Casey Jones was in the 1990 movie?
Oh, man. I don't know about... I mean, here, by all means, actually, you go first on this one. Kevin, sorry. You go first on this one.
Yeah, like, I watched this, like I said, it was the first time in over a year that I've seen this. I've seen it many, many times, but... For the first time, I was trying to watch it critically, and every time Casey Jones opened his mouth, I was like, "This guy deserves an Oscar for being able to keep a straight face doing what he's doing."
I will say he isn't very bright though, because he could not recognize Raphael wearing a hat and a trench coat as being a turtle.
Well, what's the whole joke that, like, the suspension of disbelief of the DC Universe is based on the fact that people can't tell Superman and Clark Kent apart?
Right? Yeah. That is true.
So, like, the entire universe collapses if somebody ever figures that out.
Okay, can I say real quick, that's what took me out of the first few episodes of Supergirl, is that there was a giant blown-up magazine cover that she was standing right next to. And I was like, nobody sees this right now? Nobody?
Well, all you gotta do is hunch up your shoulders a little bit and wear glasses, and obviously yeah. You're a completely different person. Now, actually, real quick, I don't want to dwell too long on it, but, like, Supergirl, how is it? Because I haven't started it yet.
Like I said, the first three I got taken out of. I've heard from a bunch of people that if you stick with it to 5 and 6, that it gets a lot better after that.
Yeah, I tapped out at 4.
Yeah, I've heard that if you can make it to the 6th episode, it starts getting a lot better. I tapped out at 3, but I plan on catching up because I never actually canceled my DVR recording, so I've got them all.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, no, I've been hearing some good, interesting things. I think it's definitely going the Flash route of, like, getting in some of the more obscure,
Yeah, well, I've been seeing, like, spoiler, but I've been seeing pictures of certain Oreo loving Martian on the show.
Wow, so, there's so many characters that could
or
be
Chacos, I guess. Yeah. They're Oreos.
I mean, I know you're keeping it vague, but, like, there's also literally only one person that could be.
Oh, you know.
I've been seeing photos of a certain angry Canadian with adamantium claws. I don't want to give away any names. Yeah, you mean Wolverine. There's only one of them.
Spoilers.
Actually, that's not true. X-23 exists.
Yeah, well, now there's a female version, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Casey Jones, like, the hockey mask and the whole first scene he shows up, he pulls a cricket bat out of his... He's, like, got a cricket bat strapped to his back. Like, I was just loving that he pulled out... He's like, all right, we're playing a new game, cricket. And he just whacks Raphael with a cricket bat, and I was dying.
Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention, but it's like... Was he just, like, straight up a vigilante? Like, he was just trying to pull a Batman thing?
Yeah, it seemed like he was just running around Central Park with baseball bats and a cricket bat.
I'm also pretty sure he's homeless.
You know what? There's no evidence disproving that, so I'm actually going to buy that fan theory. God, what a wild ass movie. I did feel, looking at it slightly critically, I did feel like, man, that second act drags a bit.
A little bit,
yeah.
After Splinter gets captured, and while they're just kind of chilling at the Hawkeye farmhouse.
Oh my gosh!
For a while, like, it really.
While they're, Raphael, while he's laying in a bathtub with no water.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Did you guys notice there's no water in the bathtub?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
and he's got, like, one leg draped over the side of the bathtub, like. Somebody just took that costume and threw it in a bathtub and was like, all right, well, we're filming this scene now.
You guys didn't hear the actor that played Raphael quit in the middle and he said, fuck this. And he threw his suit in the tub and that was it.
then he came back later.
That's actually not true, but...
No, we made that up, but it seems plausible.
Are you sure that's not a hashtag turtle fact?
Oh my god. Let's make it.
That is a new thing that we are probably going to have to promote on Twitter constantly.
Okay, yeah, let's pass a couple around. Hashtag turtle fact. Over 17 tons of pizza were consumed during this movie. Hashtag turtle fact.
Okay, real quick, the whole... Do you mind penicillin on your pizza?
Oh my god.
God, there was... I mean, okay, like, I don't want to get too much into the technical details, but, like, from an editing perspective, so much of, like, modern movies are a bunch of, like, very quick cuts and reaction shots, and this movie stayed a lot in, like, really kind of wide shots. And I think that helped the comedy a bit because it relied on the actors just being able to do, like, what they do best, which is, like, those physical comedy elements. Like when he just starts, you know, when he starts like saluting the pizza and they like lower it down into right. the sewers.
And I gotta like, say, for full body turtle suits, the expressiveness on the faces was really, really good. Jim Henson's Puppet Shop really put it all on the line for this one. Like, you could, like, you could see in their eyes when they were sad or when they were angry and stuff. It was really cool the way you could, you know, see the expression in a full body turtle suit.
That's definitely really well done.
Yeah,
sure.
If you didn't know, they actually put peanut butter on their mouth so that they can mimic the speech.
Hashtag turtle fact. God damn it. I was like, wait, really? No, hashtag turtle fact.
Oh man, yeah, but no, they. I was actually genuinely shocked how much of the physical comedy really came through. I was worried because I had never seen this movie. You know, I was worried it was gonna be pretty. It was gonna be pretty flat, or maybe it wouldn't hold up. But like, those special effects were like, I mean, spot on. Actually, like, yeah, I felt like they were believable. They felt like they were a part of that world.
Hell yeah!
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, all credit to the long tradition of Jim Henson improving movies from the 20th century.
Right.
Well, speaking of Jim Henson, this is an actual fact from the movie, not a fake one. The guy that voices Splinter is the voice of Elmo.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Hashtag turtle fact.
Hashtag turtle fact.
That one's actually true.
Hashtag turtle fact has to be the thing where, like, one out of every five times we use it has to be a true fact just to keep a little bit of credibility going.
Yeah.
No, I fact-checked all of these, and they're right.
The Wikipedia of Twitter. Fantastic.
Our producer, you didn't go to college with us, Sobe, but...
I was down there enough to where we watch them frequently.
So, our producer, Steve, he's my cousin, and we were roommates in college for a while. And he, when he got really drunk, he would do a Splinter voice.
Oh, it was so good.
And it was absolutely hilarious because it was so bad. He's like, ah, my son, you need to give me a beer. And I was like, Steve, you're not Splinter.
Wise man
That is excellent. Wow, again, I mean, I can't emphasize enough how much I was impressed by the performances, especially of the more costumed, puppeted characters. Like, man, they really managed to find a way to shine through on those. Again, I don't know what I was expecting, but for some reason I just expected, like, oh, it's from 25 years ago, it'll be all right.
And it's so good, right?
It is, it truly is. Oh man, when... touching on a character, I guess we've mentioned the Foot Clan, but like, let's talk about Shredder.
The most epic entrance ever,
right?
That was a solid entrance. I also love how he descended into the final fight scene. Like, he legitimately
out
just
of nowhere.
Yeah, I legitimately don't know where he came from.
Okay, and one thing I noticed for the very first time, and like I've said, I've seen this movie a lot, is that he drops out of nowhere and then he starts talking shit to the turtles. But while he's talking shit, there's a wide shot of the turtles. You see the turtles from behind, and you're looking at the Shredder face on. But I never, ever noticed that all the Foot Clan that they knocked out are, like, slinking away during that scene. They're, like, crawling away or climbing up, like, around the side of the building or going around. Like, they're doing the worst stage exits ever. And I never noticed that before this time. And I've seen this movie... probably in the triple digits, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
That is fucking fantastic. It, I I mean, you're talking about watching it multiple times. I kind of want to go back and, like, watch it again this weekend.
It's that good!
If this weekend wasn't already devoted to, like, script writing, oh man, I kind of would. It definitely wants me to... It wants me. The movie commands me to.
The movie is calling. It definitely...
Did you know there was actually subliminal messaging in this movie? Hashtag turtle fact. No, this movie makes me really want to, like, go back and actually pick up the comics. I know it's a completely different tone. I know they're more violent. They're, I mean...
Yeah. Like a lot more violent. Leonardo doesn't stab anybody in the movie, and he stabs a lot of people in the comics.
I think he unsheathes his katana swords.
Yeah.
Can I say, though, that I haven't read the first issue, because the first issue, it was going to be a one-off, and it was never meant to be, like, a series. But... the first issue was an independent one-off, and the storyline, it holds up to the first issue of the comics pretty well.
Wow.
I know that it's more of a revenge story. Like, Splinter was actually training the Turtles to go kill the Shredder and kill his Foot Clan. But, I mean, the way the story progresses, there's a lot less... I don't know if April O'Neil actually even makes an appearance in the first issue. I know Casey Jones doesn't, and the farmhouse is not in there. But it actually holds up to the story really well.
Hmm. That's worth checking out. I actually just checked the publication date, and I was a little bit surprised that... I mean, I guess Turtle Mania and, like, Turtle Power was, like, actually kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And obviously, but, like, the fact that the movie came out less than, like, 5 years after the comic started.
Right, it was 86 or something?
The comic first got published in 84, and for this to come out in 90 means they would have had to at least started in, like, 88, probably, right. with scripting.
Yeah. So, I like I said, I know the first issue was meant to be a one-off, and it just, it sold out, like, they printed 3,000 copies, and it sold off within, like, 3 weeks or something. And so they did a second and a third and a fourth run. And they were like, all right, fuck it. Let's make more.
yeah.
And,
oh, man, that could never happen today.
Right. Yeah. And that's where, like, you know, all the villains from the comics came out. Like, Krang and the little, what were the little turtle hunter robots in it? Oh. Or the little rat hunter robots or whatever.
I forget what those were called.
From the video game. And it just sparked a whole franchise, which is, it's a really, really cool story. I know at Barnes & Noble, at least at my local Barnes & Noble, there's a big, giant, black and white, like, hardbound version. And it's got, like, the whole story of it written in the front. That's where I learned all this.
Wow. So I guess...
Yeah, for sure. Oh, go ahead, by all means.
I was going to bring it back to Shredder.
No, please. We need to talk more about Shredder. Shredder is... easily the best part of this movie, in my personal opinion.
So my big question for Shredder is, what is Shredder's actual endgame with his, like, empire? Like,
to steal all the TVs in New York and then sell them back.
So, like, this begs the question, like, is Shredder just, like, this underground TV critic that we don't know about?
Shredder. And no one ever mentions, like, the actual trafficking of children. It's the TVs, of course.
Yeah.
I feel like Shredder wants to open, like, a chain to compete with Radio Shack and Best Buy. And he's just like, I don't want to pay all this overhead, so I'm stealing all this shit.
Shredder's just, like, into peak TV way before it happened.
And that's, you know, hey, that's completely fine, because that guy already has a fantastic headquarters. the skate park arcade.
I want one so bad.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That 80s arcade with all the games and an indoor skate park.
And
like
poker tables and roulette tables. And, like,
yeah.
Who doesn't want to be of Shredder's Foot Clan?
Right? Like, I would totally join the Foot Clan, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, if it gave me unlimited quarters at that arcade,
it's like,
sure.
If they have a health plan, if they've got decent dental, like, I'm definitely joining the Foot Clan. That's all I've got to say.
Donald, I was joking with Donald last night that it's like, it's practically your aesthetic. Like,
yeah,
that's,
it's
like,
freaking great.
Oh, man.
It is the perfect.
And plus, if you get that nicotine buzz, like, do you got some cigarettes? What, you want regular or menthol?
Oh, man, it made me feel, like, weirdly nostalgic, because I haven't been to an actual arcade in forever.
There's a barcade like not too far away from here.
All right, when my birthday's coming up, so if you want to go to Eugene.
Do you remember Aladdin's Palace in the mall?
Yeah, Aladdin's Palace.
We Sobe and I grew up together, and there was an arcade in the mall,
which was demolished,
which was like walking distance. And when it got demolished, it was so sad.
Oh, we should go there. Movies. Oh,
yeah. And they had a turtle game.
They did have a turtle game.
They had a fucking turtle game. It was awesome.
That's right.
And actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because prior to watching this movie, that video game, that like, you know, four-person beat 'em up video game, was legitimately my only exposure to the turtles.
That game was
awesome. Like that and the one gif that I tweeted out last night about drug dealers are dorks, don't even talk to them. Those are like legitimately my only exposure to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles prior to watching this movie. And man, I have fond memories of that video game. That is, oh man, that was fun.
That game was a lot of fun.
Well, and I had the Super Nintendo game too, Turtles in Time, which I also have on my cell phone right now.
Turtles in Time,
which is spectacular.
That wasn't. Oh man. So I think we're coming to the end of our conversation about the turtles.
Yeah,
totally.
So that being said, any closing thoughts on the movie?
Watch it. Watch it as many times as you possibly can.
Until the VHS tape breaks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I Donald? Actually downloaded a Blu-ray version of it, which it says
this
that.
Movie is not this movie is not meant to be watched on Blu-ray. Buy a DVD version if you must. If you can, if you have a VCR, buy that shit on VHS.
Yeah. I believe I do have a VHS copy of it still.
Yes.
So great.
Wait, of the movie?
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
it.
Dude, why didn't we watch that?
You don't have a VCR.
I couldn't come over to your house.
Oh, well, I didn't think of that.
No, we got a, let's refer to it as an illicit copy. Which means it was very low quality.
Oh, okay.
To be fair, I couldn't find it in a lot of places. It's not... The sequel and the terrible third sequel are both on Amazon Prime and Google Play, but I had a hard time finding the actual version. The first movie.
Ah, bummer. Yeah, or no, I hear 2 and 3 are not very good.
Well, okay, 3 is terrible. 2 is a lot of fun. Yeah, it's not as good as the first one, but it does have Vanilla Ice.
Oh yeah, that song.
Yeah, go
yes.
Ninja, go.
Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
Go Ninja, go.
That
ninja,
is a
go.
Thing. Hashtag turtle facts.
Hashtag turtle facts.
And that's the legitimate one. I thought I heard like they took all the violence out of number 2 or something like that.
No, no, the second one is a lot of fun. It's trying a little bit harder than the first one, so it's a little bit more campy, but it is really good. The third one is, I don't know what happened, but the costumes are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same costumes in the first and second one. In the third one, the costumes are fucking awful.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the story is stupid as shit. So, it was trying to be Back to the Future with shitty Turtles costumes.
jog my memory. Number 2 is Secret of the Ooze.
Yes.
And then number 3 is
Turtles in Time.
Ah, there we go. Okay, I thought so. Oh, okay, so literally Back to the Future.
Yeah, literally Back to the Future.
Okay. Donald, any closing thoughts?
I really liked it. I'll probably watch it again. Just for the sake of its cheesiness. I think it's it's just, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, me too. I was surprised how much of you know, how quickly it pulled me in.
Yeah.
I mean, I put up on Facebook that I was like, I kind of regretted like not getting into them earlier.
Yeah.
Because as much as 21-year-old me enjoys it, I know 15-year-old me would really enjoy it. And I, you know, I feel a little bad that I didn't get into this like 6 or 10 years prior.
Right.
Well, you missed out.
yeah. all right, well, I believe that concludes our discussion of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the 1990 original. Join us after the break, and we are going to talk comics. Hey, Infinity Break fans, do you want to show your support and devotion for an extremely obscure group of entertainers? Well, now you can. Just go to our website at infinitybreak.net and click on the shop tab to be whisked away to our Redbubble, where you can find all sorts of awesome shirts, stickers, notebooks, and other gadgets decked out with icons from all of our most popular shows. Act now, because that stuff will be there forever. All right, welcome back. So we are going to talk about comics, because as much as we love the movies that these are based on, nothing's better than, you know, just reading comics. So let's dig into what we've been reading recently. And obviously we have some guests on this show, so they're going to be telling us what they've been into recently. Donald, why don't you start? What have you been reading?
So out of the gates of the all-new, all-different Marvel relaunch, I've been reading The Vision by Tom King and Gabriel H. Walta, I believe. It's really good. It's about the Vision, and he creates this own, like, version of his family that are also androids, and they're living in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and trying to fit in with human life. It's just really interesting. It almost has this weird, like, horror aspect to it as well, which is weird for, like, a Marvel comic, that sort of art style to it. But I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, The Vision, I've been absolutely loving it, and like you said, it's definitely got a very it's almost horror. I would say almost, yeah, horror vibe to it. It's so good.
For me, it feels like I'm a voyeur. Like, I'm, like, kind, yeah, of creeping on this family in a weird way.
Yeah.
Because, like, even the narration is kind of, like, set where you're, like, third person.
It's definitely one of the best ones they're putting out right now. Yeah. And they're putting out a lot of good ones, so that's saying something.
Yeah, so it sounds like a weird approach to narrative then. Like, you said something about third party, excuse me, not third party, a third person kind of caption to it.
There's like a narrator kind of.
Yeah. And there's definitely a third person narration, because it's a third person omniscient narration, which is interesting for a comic, because it'll say things that, you know, will happen later that you haven't seen yet. And it's like, yeah, this is very interesting. Based, it's a third person narration, which is really
different, especially when you get your thought, you get them like interacting and going through, you know, the story, the plot, and then you just hear this. There's this other background voice that's saying, "Well, this is, you know, this is what this person felt," and da 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 da.
Yeah, Tom King kicks ass on it. Sorry, go ahead, Donald.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say, like, it's really interesting to see, like, all the social commentary between the dialogue between Vision and Virginia and even his kids. Just all the social commentary on, like, human life and how strange, like, how humans interact. And, like, reading it, it's like, you know what, that is weird. Like, that, like, why do we do that?
Yeah.
You know? And it's very, very poignant. It's a credit to Tom King's writing, too, and the art too is just spectacular.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting to me, because I know a lot of those stories that, like, you know, of some sort of otherness, some sort of foreigner, be it a robot or an alien, sure, like living among the humans, you know, like those tropes can kind of get a little, like, tried, you know. Mm-hmm. Like the same jokes are always made, like, oh, coffee, such a weird beverage, you know, or whatever. This sounds like it's taking, like, a really original take on it.
Yeah, there's a panel, or there's a scene where, like, these kids go up to their house and they spray paint "Go Home, Socket Lovers." Yeah. And it's like, it's so funny, because it's like, it's just sort of this commentary on, like, them being different, even though, like, they sort of look at us like being different.
Yeah, you know? sure.
And it was funny, because they went into that, and they were like, they were like, well, we know all the
they Googled it.
They had to Google what a discriminating term was for robots.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, well, we know what, like, discriminating terms are for, we know what racial slurs there are, and we know all this stuff, but, like, what do you call a robot? And, like, oh, socket lovers. Ha ha, that's funny.
Yeah.
Showed them.
So highly recommended, it sounds.
Yeah, it's probably spectacular.
It's probably my favorite out of the all new, all different line, next to, like, Doctor Strange, probably.
Oh, I'll have to check that out in
Doctor Strange is so good.
Yeah, let's just get into it. Doctor Strange is freaking amazing.
Yeah, man. I have not ever been a huge Doctor Strange, like, follower. Like, I've never been against him or anything, but he hasn't had a lot of his own series. And
yeah, it's the first solo in a while.
This Doctor Strange series is, it's incredible, and I wish, I don't have the writer or the artist name right now, but
Jason Aaron and Chris Pacello, I want to say.
Fucking yeah.
Thank you. They are spectacular.
Yeah.
Like, the art is so good. It matches the weird storyline so well. The dialogue, everything is, this is my 6 out of 5 right now.
It's really, yeah, it's really quirky, like, you know, like, he's just like, oh, yeah, I have to, because basically it comes down to he's eating all these souls, that's all he can eat now,
these
things, and he, what's his
name? Oh, God, when everybody gets attacked by the refrigerator in issue 2 was hilarious.
Yeah, you didn't open the refrigerator, did you?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to check that out then. Donald, you gifted me the first Doctor Strange issue.
Yeah, I gave
you
the first issue, yeah.
Which tragically remained at this house while I was in Portland for winter break.
Oh, no. So
I forgot to grab it, but...
I also enjoyed the Doctor Strange's happy hour that he created in the
in the bar with no doors.
Yeah,
that was such a cool idea with all these like magicians showing up in the bar. It's so cool.
Yeah, magic and Scarlet Witch and Brother Voodoo and all the all the mystic characters from Marvel show up in this book.
And Strange shows up late every time.
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds like it's going to appeal to me because I love. Well, you know, you can split up the Marvel Universe in so many different ways, you know, with cosmic, Avengers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I really like the magic and mystical end of the Marvel Universe. That stuff appeals to me, and I'm a huge Strange fan.
And this book, you'll love this book. Can I just say, though, while we're on Mystic Marvel, how disappointed I am with Scarlet Witch. Only 2 issues out so far, but I was really, really pumped for the Scarlet Witch solo series. And I gotta say, the art is spectacular, but so far the story is, I feel like it's actively pushing me away from reading it. Like,
yeah. I guess they're having they're switching out artists every issue or something. The art in issue 2 is
awesome.
It's so good. The art in issue 2, I it was phenomenal. But yeah, I would have to agree with you. Like, there's not really anything that's grabbing me story-wise, unfortunately.
Right, and the Scarlet Witch has always been, ever since House of M, has been one of my favorite characters. And we'll be covering House of M on our podcast pretty soon. We did Avengers Disassembled before, and that's the next big event. So,
for sure.
The Scarlet Witch has always been one of my favorite characters. And for her to get her solo title now, and it's just... I'm very disappointed with it, but there is a lot of good stuff with the all-new, all-different Marvel. The all-new Wolverine book, have you been reading it?
I've heard good things about it.
I haven't gotten
into X-23,
it
right?
Yeah, it's X-23, and she's taken the Wolverine title, and I gotta say, I love it. She's, so far, I've only read the first 4. I think the 5th one is out now. I might be wrong on that, but I think I've only read the first 4. But in the first 4, she's dealt with a offshoot of Weapon X. She's hanging out with Angel, like the original 5 Angel from All New X-Men. And the writing has been spectacular. They met up with Doctor Strange in issue number 4. Yeah, it's actually my favorite Wolverine title in several years.
That's awesome. Which,
and I'm a Wolverine fan, so... For this to be my favorite, it's a big deal. It's not like it's my favorite out of stuff that I don't like. I love this title. For her, when Logan eventually does come back, because we all know he's coming back.
Right.
Logically.
For this title to go with another Wolverine title, it's going to be really interesting to see if I like the new one better. Because this is tied with... I think it's tied with Doctor Strange as my top 2, and then the Vision and 2 others are tied for, you know, the other of my top 5. They've been putting out a lot of good titles, so.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into All New Wolverine yet, just because I've been reading all on... I've been wanting to read all of X-23 before I got into this All New Wolverine. So that's what I've been dedicating my time to.
kind of doing a bit of a character study, just going through previous appearances.
Yeah, basically. And she's only got like 3 series and they're real short.
They're all on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah. So I just,
okay,
I was like, I'm going to knock this out real quick and then get into it. So,
and I just want to, I do this in like every one of our podcasts, but to anybody who's looking to get into comics or who likes Marvel comics at all, get Marvel Unlimited. It's so worth it. There's so many comics on there. It's so worth it.
It's worth it. I ended up getting I got a tablet for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And I was able to get a free month with like one of their promo codes or whatever. and I reread so much and just read new stuff. They have so much on there. It's ridiculous. It makes me want DC or even Image to do their own version
right.
Unlimited so bad. But yeah. Marvel Unlimited, it's so good.
And I pay $10 a month for it, and I read hundreds of dollars worth of comics on it every month. So
yeah, I bought a year long pass, which almost halves the cost pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like, it's legitimately for the price of two comics, I have every comic.
Right. Mm.
More or less. And like, I swear I've read more comics in the last 2 months than I have maybe in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Like it is again, Marvel, anytime you feel like sponsoring this show, more than willing.
Right. Yeah.
We're already plugging you.
Same for ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is spectacular. And man, it sounds like there's so much I need to check out. I'm actually in a bit of a comics dry spell right now.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I've been unfortunately working very hard on producing our next big podcast.
Oh, right.
As I'm sure you know, Donald, which reminds me, we need to record your voiceover later tonight.
Yes, yep.
I've been putting so much effort into that, and I guess there's that thing I have to do every day called school. That has unfortunately temporarily prevented me from enjoying comics. The last thing I finished up the... Yeah.
Damn it.
Why can't I just be a media professional?
Right.
The last thing I finished reading was the Hawkeye run, which you recommended, and I believe I said on the previous podcast that I enjoyed quite a bit.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I've started a bunch of number one issues, but I haven't actually stuck with the series yet. My ADD kind of got the best of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been jumping around a bit. But I did recently discover that they have, I shit you not, all 441 issues of the original Amazing Spider-Man run.
Oh, yeah.
From like 1963 to 1998.
Yep. And well, actually, they've got it right up until 6 months ago, because there was like they just did a renumbering after 1998, right, and they've got the next volume and the next volume after that. So and same with Avengers and Fantastic Four. They've got most of the main titles, Uncanny X-Men as well. Marvel Unlimited has the very first issue all the way to the end.
Yeah, I would love to read through the Claremont Burn. Claremont Cochran stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it feels like there's a lot of gaps missing there, but I might be wrong.
No, and the Uncanny X-Men, they've got the whole run. The problem is they don't have all of New Mutants, and they don't have all of X-Factor. They actually have very, very little of the original run of X-Factor. So that those all tie in a lot. But, there's a lot of great stuff on there. I mentioned two others that were tied for my second place favorite of the All New, All Different series. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention them real quick. The Ultimates is really, really good. It's probably the most powerful team that Marvel has ever put together. It's the Blue Marvel, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Miss America, and Spectrum. And they're going off into Cosmic Marvel to solve Cosmic Marvel problems.
Yes.
The very first thing they do is go to try and solve Galactus.
Yeah.
Solve Galactus. That sounds...
look, I have a long-running fascination and appreciation for the Black Panther. And the fact that he will now be in space makes the Black Panther that much better.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a new Black Panther solo coming out soon.
That's right.
That I'm really excited for.
Right, by Ta-Nehisi Coates, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
That's going to be so good. I already, try to pre-order it as soon as I can. Like,
right. And then Brian Michael Bendis's Invincible Iron Man, which is a bi-weekly one, so there's a bunch of issues out already. It's so good.
Yeah.
I cannot stop reading it. It's so good.
The art is fantastic. David Marquez?
Yeah, right? David Marquez's art is spectacular. The coloring is so good. Like, sometimes the coloring just syncs perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it's just enough color pop with just the right amount of, inking and shadow. It's so good.
It's really good.
Yeah, isn't Bendis doing another Iron Man book? International Iron Man?
Oh, I had not heard of that.
Yeah, I guess he's doing a second Iron Man book called International Iron Man, and I think it's someone else on art, I think, but he's doing two Iron Man books at the same time.
Well, damn Bendis.
Yeah.
Right? God, and now is a great time to be in Marvel.
Yeah. And there are a lot of other good ones. I just read up on Squadron Supreme. It's really good. Mm-hmm. The new Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm enjoying a lot. I hear Uncanny Inhumans is really good. I'm loving the new Silk. I'm loving the new Venom. I'm loving the new Carnage. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl is hilarious as always.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And all new X-Men is really, really good. And I gotta say, Miss Marvel again. G. Willow Wilson is, man, she is at the peak of her game. She is incredible.
She's knocking it out of the park,
right?
With that,
yeah.
I mean,
and has been for a couple years too.
Oh yeah, when that the first run of Miss Marvel with Kamala Khan, like that was such a breakthrough in comics.
Yeah,
just with diversity and like what kind of character that was,
and even not like, even leaving aside diversity, which is spectacular and great.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just an incredibly good story and incredibly good art. Yeah. And, yeah, she just, man, she is probably the top of the heap right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, since you have all, I haven't been reading a ton of comics, and you all have recommended so many comics, I'm going to turn the tables a little bit and ask this. What's one comic you would recommend I read? Because I need to read some comics.
Doctor Strange,
yeah.
Probably, because you're a big Strange fan, so I'd say Doctor Strange.
I am a huge Strange fan.
Yeah, I would say if I had to recommend three, I'd say Doctor Strange, The Ultimates, because just it throws you into cosmic Marvel so hard.
good.
And I'm gonna leave Marvel for a bit. The Batman TMNT, Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover by James Tynion IV. It's so good. Like I was saying on the break, just the fact that it exists makes me happy, but it's so good that, you know, it's just awesome.
I did not know that James Tynion IV was writing that. I definitely gotta check, not just for the premise alone, Batman and TMNT, like,
right.
I gotta read it, but he's a really good writer.
Yeah,
he's...
the Turtle Ninjas versus the Dracula Ninja, like, the perfect premise.
Yeah, and those are all spectacular. If I might mention a couple of non-Marvel ones real quick that I've been reading, the new Red Sonja #1 came out by Marguerite Bennett, and I'm always a big Red Sonja fan, and so far it looks like it's going to be a really good continuation of Gail Simone's run. And then the what was the other one? Oh, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Zero came out.
Yeah, right. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is another franchise from like the 80s and 90s that I unfortunately never got into, and I feel like this is going to be this could be a really cool opener for me.
Yeah, and it like the issue Zero was really, really cool. If you didn't get into it, the entire, you know, there's like 22 seasons of Ninja Turtles on Netflix.
Power Rangers, that's what I meant.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 22
no, that
seasons
like a...
of Power Rangers on Netflix. And I wouldn't recommend them on their own, but if you want to read Chris Sims's companion guide on comic book resources that goes with, like, he does a companion for every episode. I think he's like two seasons worth out now.
Wow.
It really makes it way better because he's hilarious.
Oh yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of the War Rocket Ajax.
Yes,
but no, 22 seasons of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sounds like a pretty solid hashtag turtle fact.
Hashtag turtle facts.
Hashtag turtle facts.
All right, so it sounds like I have a lot of reading ahead of me then.
Yes,
that's going to wrap up our comic section, which will of course bring us into the outro. All right, so that wraps up today's episode of Super Cinema. We will be back, of course, in 2 weeks. And we have a question for all the members of this panel. A question that, of course, our listeners can answer by tweeting us at Ben C. Hamlin or at Not Donald or at InfinityBreak23. We've been talking about supervillains on the last two. So you guys are a Marvel-based podcast for the most part.
Yep.
What is one Marvel superhero that has not been not appeared in live action yet that you would want to see in an upcoming movie, regardless of what Marvel's actual plans are?
Does it have to actually be a hero? Because I know Sobey's choice.
Oh, yeah.
heroes or anti-heroes? We've already done villains, unfortunately.
All right, so no MODOK then.
No MODOK.
Okay, MODOK is by no definition a hero. He is a mechanized organism designed only for killing.
and based on Secret Wars and sometimes love.
I assure you, my love for MODOK is there, but unfortunately, he does not count as a hero.
Honestly, I'd love to see X-23.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
That makes sense to me. Actually, that could be cool if they don't bring Wolverine back for any future X movies and they focus it on 23. Would be kind of cool.
Just say, hey, this is a clone of Wolverine, which matches the comics just fine. If we're talking strictly MCU, I would love to see Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how would they do that? That
is something I could agree to.
They did it on Jurassic Park. They'll figure it out. Mine would be She-Hulk. She-Hulk is pretty awesome. Yes. Figure there's a market there somewhere for that.
Oh, definitely.
There's definitely a market for me to see her in the MCU, but if they couldn't squeeze her into one of the movies, I'd be actually really cool if she was part of the Defenders.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting, yeah.
Especially since, you know, I mean,
or even a Law and Order style procedural.
I would watch that like so hard.
Yeah,
what's his name? Charlie Cox cameo.
Yes,
Daredevil.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is the Defenders universe.
We're all good.
Yeah, the Defenders universe or subuniverse, I should say, already has a private investigator and a criminal prosecutor. So that'd be kind of cool to add in. Go full out, get She-Hulk on there.
She could be a defense lawyer.
That would be rad as hell.
Yeah.
Mr. Orr, what is your pick?
Well, last week, since you mentioned a villain with MODOK, last week I said Stiltman.
No, 2 weeks ago you said Stilt. Two episodes.
Yeah, 2 episodes ago. But for a hero, I'd really like to see a Netflix series for Moon Knight. I think that would be freaking sick.
Yes.
Because... especially with like his Egyptian background, I'd really like to see the guy from Mr. Robot play Moon Knight. Rami Malek. I think that'd be a really good choice for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Moon Knight would be just sick. I think they could do a lot with that on Netflix.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you mentioned on our last episode, we did not actually nail down a good DC villain that we would want to see, because every single DC villain I listed, they have apparently already done in Arrow, Supergirl, or Flash.
Yeah, they do them all on those. Even King Shark.
Yeah, that reveal though, that was crazy.
Oh, that was so cool.
Well, spoilers, Ben. You haven't been caught up for so long.
No, that's true.
The CG I was really impressed with for King Shark.
Oh, that was so cool.
Flash. For TV too.
Yeah.
Right,
cool.
Yeah. For CW TV.
for the CW.
Yeah.
Oh man, you said Moon Knight, which unfortunately was gonna be my answer.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Tragedy has struck and struck. Struck. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And obviously, I could say Iron Fist, who's a huge favorite of mine, but I mean, that's pretty much slated on the record to happen, which, oh man, I actually don't have an answer for my own question now.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, Doctor Strange and Black Panther, who are two of my favorites, those are both happening.
They're coming, yeah.
Yeah, Iron Fist is happening. You've already said Moon Knight.
Yep.
Jackass.
After Moon Knight, I'd probably say like Ghost Rider. I mean, he has such a rich lore, and if they did him right, I think on Netflix or something, I think it'd be
The problem is, I think the comics have so rarely done him right,
But Netflix could. I feel like they've knocked it out of the park with Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I think like if he had the whole Netflix thing, I think it could be really good.
Yeah, no, I was actually thinking about that last night. I was like, how would I write? Because, you know, I'm a comics writer to whatever degree.
Right.
As you know, I'm a world famous comics writer. two webcomics that maybe five people read. But
six if you count Sobe, because I'm going to make him read them from now on.
Bless you.
Awesome.
I was thinking like how I would like put Ghost Rider into the MCU. And I was just thinking like, do you remember that scene in X2 when Professor X is tracking Nightcrawler? And he's like, you know, kind of like, good luck finding him. He's jumping all over the map or whatever.
Yeah.
I was picturing that, like, well, where can we find this guy? And it just shows like a red line streaming across like Utah or something. Like on the big like helicarrier shield map or something.
Yes.
Like it's like, he's a little hard to pinpoint. And then like, you know, it just cuts down to like the fiery, you know, the desert. And there's just like a rush of fire, like Back to the Future style, like, tire tracks mm-hmm. or something like that. Man, I love the Ghost Rider, but yeah, as you said, the comics, including Mr. Rider, are very shitty.
Yeah, I think one that I talked about in our previous podcast, actually, which they've had their due with movies, but I think that they're a good place for them would be on a Netflix series, would be the Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, screw them out of movies. They don't need to be in movies. They need their own TV series.
Look, I just... There's nothing I want more in this world than an accurate Doom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean...
Please.
I don't know if you guys have caught on, based on my Twitter. I really like Doom.
Yes.
Doom is very important to me. I even tweeted you guys today. Oh, yeah, I quoted one of your tweets with, right. Never be Richards, always be Doom, or something like that.
Yeah, you said is always be Reed Richards, unless you can be Doom.
Well, Ben, you should, back to comics recommendations, you should really read Secret Wars.
Oh, undoubtedly.
You haven't read Secret Wars yet?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've been really slacking.
Oh, my gosh. And to wait for the trade. Do you guys know when the trade comes out for Secret Wars?
I have no idea.
Probably in a couple months, few months.
Oh, then don't fucking wait for the trade. Get all nine. As a matter of fact, you know what? I've got them all digitally. I'm gonna give you my Marvel account specifically so you can read them all.
I have unlimited.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes. The first six are up there.
You're gonna have to read them all because man, they are they do Doom perfectly as...
It's really good.
If Doom is a god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would recommend reading Hickman's FF run and then the Avengers, New Avengers stuff. It's sort of this like whole lead-in into Secret Wars. It's just really well done.
It'll keep you busy for a while, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I can't say Ghost Rider either because technically he's already appeared. So let's just spin the wheel and pull out...
MODOK!
God, I mean, shit, now I want to say Kitty Pryde, but Kitty Pryde's already been in there.
God dang it.
Damn.
There's a lot that's been...
There's so many that's been butchered or not given enough time. So actually, you know what? I'm going to say Magic.
Okay. Hell yes.
There you go.
A sometimes hero.
Where the hell has she been?
Probably stuck in limbo. But I'm... All right, I'm very funny. Anyway,
if you're comics readers, you will get that joke. If you're not comics readers, well, it's still funny, trust us.
Obviously, unfortunately, the X universe and the MCU are very separate, but that would be rad as hell if we could do a Doctor Strange magic crossover to some degree.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'd be very much down for that. But anyway, that wraps up this episode of Super Cinema. I'm sorry, listeners, of course, please do write in to let us know which Marvel hero that we have not seen in a live action you would like to see in a live action. We asked our previous question, and a follower of mine, at Archangel, suggested that the one DC villain he would want to see is the Catman.
The Catman.
which is a villain I forgot existed.
I feel like there's a lot of jokes there.
Oh, there certainly are. The Pussy Man. And actually, I would like to retcon my DC answer and say Azazel. Or no, sorry, excuse me. Holy shit, that's wrong. Azrael.
Azrael? Oh, okay.
Jean-Paul Vallée.
There you go.
Okay.
Anyway, that wraps up this episode of Super Cinema. Once again, I'm your host, Benjamin Hamlin. You can find me at Ben C. Hamlin on Twitter. I'm joined, as always, by my right-hand man, the other half of the dynamic duo.
Donald Orr.
Who you can find...
At Not Donald.
At Not Donald on Twitter. Yeah. Please talk comics with us. We are always willing to discuss... how cool Superman is.
And if you guys want to plug your show.
Yes, by all means. We are joined today by the Comics Noob Show. Give us a quick rundown of what you guys do.
Yeah, we are the Comic Noob Show. We run down Marvel Comics, explain Marvel continuity for fans of superhero movies, longtime fans of comics, and new fans that want to get into the comics. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher at Comic Noobs. Or you can follow us on Twitter at Comic Noobs Show. We're always tweeting our episodes, so you'll be able to follow us there. You can find us also online at comicnoobs.wordpress.com, which I really need to update more often. As a matter of fact, Ben, I need to talk to you about who made your website because I need to get in touch with that person.
The answer is me.
Oh, in that case, I need to pay you to build us an actual website. We've got a Facebook page that's run by a good friend of our show. Just search on Facebook for Comic Noobs. And yeah, we're always putting out new shows, and we've got bonus casts that talk about you know, news and
random stuff.
And random stuff. We did an interview with a writer this week. He writes a superheroes versus zombies series of novels. Peter Klein's excellent series called X Heroes. So yeah, just like random stuff on our show, on our bonus cast. So yeah, hit us up. Also, you can find Sobe at @the_real_Sobe on Twitter.
That's SOBIE.
Not to be confused with all the fake Sobies out there.
Right.
Exactly, exactly. Because they're just imitating. So.
Yeah. And we'll, of course, link to you guys in the show notes and on our Twitter so that you guys can find them that much easier. We'd highly recommend them. I've been enjoying their show ever since I tuned in 2 weeks after I said I tuned in. But no, I've absolutely been enjoying their show, and it's a great for new readers to comics, new listeners to podcasts. Just get into it. It's a fantastic show. Thank you very much for joining us, guys, and we will hopefully do another crossover at some point in the future.
Hell yeah, thanks
absolutely.
For having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, that concludes this episode. Until next week, don't go out in the streets and fight people. I don't know. We need a good way to end this show. We'll figure it out eventually.
End it with the Ninja
Cowabunga.
Turtles.
Yeah, cowabunga, radical, all that shit.
Cowabunga!
Totally tubular!
And on that, we're out. This podcast was part of Infinity Break, where we tell stories our own way. If you want to stay in the loop about what we do here at Infinity Break, you can find us on any social media platform at InfinityBreak23. That's Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. If you like what we do here at Infinity Break, check out our other shows, comics, and videos at InfinityBreak.net and help spread the word by telling other people about our team. Leave a review on iTunes. The more 5-star reviews we have, the easier it is for people to find us and share in the infinite madness. Don't forget to check out our store under the Shop tab on our site, and if you're feeling generous, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/infinitybreak. Your monthly donation can help us improve the quality of this show and develop more shows for your listening and viewing pleasure. Until next time, Infinity Breakers, stay in the loop.